Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
Hallelujah. Lord, it's the entrance of your word that brings light and life. And I pray right now that the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ could and would shine brighter here today. God, I pray that you would meet each person exactly where we are, that no one would be skipped, that each person's ear would be sensitive to hear what you say. May I decrease, may you increase. Now, Lord, sing through this mind and speak through this mouth. The words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, you're my strength and redeemer. Every glad and happy heart say amen. Amen. All right, touch at least three people and say, you know I love you and I love God. Even at home and online and in the upper venue, touch them, touch them. Touch the screen, say, you love me. Let me give you a, today, we would normally have a celebration, but today I'm only going to give you a small note of information. We would have a celebration normally because 4 years ago, we actually started our Bethel Build campaign, and our building is almost finished, and we usually take a time once a year to celebrate. But because we're not done and we're still $1 million away through our Finish Strong, which we will get, I'm not going to celebrate. Because I might as well wait to celebrate on December 19th or the 31st when we get our certificate of occupancy because they finally gave me a date. You may not be as excited as me, but you don't have to deal with it every day. I'm excited. I'm very excited. I could jump off the stage, but my wife would say, now that was just crazy. And I'm not getting called crazy in church. So I want you to know, through our end of the year gifts, through what you're giving in Finish Strong, through some of the small groups, and people have been given last minute stocks, bonds, cars, jewelry, different things. Thank you for that. I know the holiday time is coming, but don't forget that we're probably going to get into this tool in holiday time. So we need you to still be faithful. Now, today's message, I'm going to attempt to do something and help you remember the why we even got this far and got started. I'm going to help you the why. The first time the Lord ever said the words to me, harvest time, was 5 years ago sitting where my wife is sitting in a watch night service, or for those from not traditional church, that is a New Year's Eve service. Watch night, what was they doing? We was watching the day go. Okay, anyway. I was sitting there, and God began to speak to me about it. I got on the stage and spontaneously began to tell you guys about it, and we started that journey. And isn't it funny that God will probably have us go into the building December 31st, I want to watch now. I'm going to sit somewhere close to where I sat before and I'm going to relive it. And then if you see me laid out on a carpet crying, don't bother him. He okay. If I roll a little bit, that's all right. Because I might. So we want to get ready for that. We want everybody to do their part. But this message is all about the why. And if it's a title, it's called The Secret to Harvest Time. Thank you very much, Greg. It's great. The Secret to Harvest Time. Go to Matthew 9. Matthew 9, we're going to start at 35, and then we're going to spend most of our time in John 4. The overarching theme or thing, you're going to hear me consistently talk about the message. And in order to have a quality message, but, you know, an absent messenger. So we got a message, we have to have a messenger. And then if you have a good messenger, the right type of messenger with the right message, you should have a manifestation of a harvest that proves you had the right thing to sow so you have the result in how you reap. Okay, Matthew 9, 35. Here we go. By the way, I probably speak this message in a bit of a passionate way. I'm not mad at you. I'm happy. but it's just best preached kind of hard. So smile. Okay. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest field." From the very first moment that Jesus appeared on the scene and he was baptized, the Bible says he preached the king, "Repent, for the kingdom of God has come." He always had the good news about himself and about how he can take us from darkness to light, how he can get us out of a destination of hell to heaven, how he was going to redeem all humanity. This kingdom message was being preached by him. And everybody he was preaching to was also getting healed physically, and they were getting healed from all affliction. So think about, he had the spiritual solution. He had the physical solution. He had the mental solution. And Jesus was constantly finding, according to this scripture, the crowd who appeared helpless, harassed. They were sheep without a shepherd. They were diseased and they were afflicted. And Jesus saw them, and his response was compassion. His compassion was expressed through preaching the kingdom and then giving them the benefits that come from being a part of the kingdom, which was healing from disease and healing from affliction. You see the totality of Jesus' ministry within the context of this scriptural text that we just read right here. We see what Jesus is doing. Now, Jesus makes a statement that this availability of people to hear the good news and to be healed and to be touched and to be changed is high. He says, in fact, I would say the harvest is ripe. It's the laborers of few. In other words, those that will respond positively to the message of the kingdom, that's a high number of people. Those who will respond positively to being healed from their disease, that's a high number of people. Those who will respond positively to being healed from their affliction, that's a high number of people. The problem is not the message. The problem is not the availability of people who have the challenges that the gospel fixed. The problem, beloved, is simply the laborers are not present. It couldn't be that simple, preacher. We boast a couple billion strong. You can cut that in half and still we have a billion. You can cut that in half and say, I'm sure all those people not living holy, and take it to, 500 million. Take it to 250 million. If 12 men anointed by God, doing what God said, could turn the world upside down, then what can either 250 million or a couple billion do? I'm telling you, we've got a Christian work slowdown going on. Y'all know what a work slowdown is, right? When you mad at your boss and he said it the wrong way, even though it's the right thing for you to do your work, and you start, instead of doing it fast and efficient, you start stapling slow. They not going to treat me bad here. And then I got to keep on working fast here. He don't know I got arthritis in my hand. I can't staple that fast. That's all the work slowdown. We've been slowing down on Jesus. And I know that we've been slowing down on Jesus because, put my graph up here. I have a personal responsibility to share my religious beliefs about Jesus Christ with non-Christians. Would y'all say that's true? So that's saying that we all know we have a job. Say we've been bought with a price, we're not our own, therefore glorify God with your bodies. Therefore, if you're not doing what your boss said, you are stealing. You don't get amens when you call somebody a thief, do you? Y'all just a thief. Well, I ain't saying amen either. You know, so when you do and I do what I want with my time, my talent, my treasure, we are taking from God that which he's purchased. This says that how often I pray for the spiritual status of people. It's blurry up here. Let me see. It might work. Monty helping me out. Oh, my God. Oh, God. It's a miracle. I'm just telling you, I don't know what it looks like, but it's, I can see. God that created some stuff we don't even know about, saints. Lord, I'm tearing my hose analogy up. I'm just so, that was miraculous. 47%, 32%. So in other words, we're not praying for people, okay? We're not sharing our faith regularly, and we're not inviting people. When 80% of people would actually come to church and come to Christ if, oh, I'm sorry, brother, would come to Christ if they were only invited. So wait a minute. That means there's not a problem with the gospel. There's not a problem with the need for the gospel. There's not a problem with God having buildings that need people to be trained in them. There's a problem with the laborers going out. And he said to fix that problem, he said, we need to pray. But this is what he said, earnestly. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman makes much power available. What kind of power? Power to snatch you out of darkness into the light. Power to cause sickness and disease to be out of your life. Let me help you understand something. Disease was coming, and they didn't have modern health care to even fight about. When Jesus, the miracle worker, showed up, I mean, that was it. Somehow, one of the reasons we don't need God as much is because we become self-sufficient. But I'm going to tell you something. Medicine runs out. The answers for mental health runs out. But God's still touching minds. God's still healing bodies. God still, don't get scared, it's in the Bible. God still raises the dead. God still does miraculous things. So if we are to do the works he did and greater, and my statement to us is, where are those works and what made them greater? It's the volume of us that are available to do the work. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the same spirit that's at work in you and me for miracles. I'm going to tell you something. When you need a miracle, you want to get around people who believe miracles. You don't want to get around the doubt. Well, I don't know, I don't know if he's doing that now. Yeah, you don't want to be around them. Not at that moment. I mean, after you don't need a miracle, you can be around them. But not when you need one. You see, even when you see that building, you just see something that's like, oh, we made a plan and we had a building. No, from day one, we needed a miracle. The day God spoke to me, we didn't have nothing. We was on minus 100. And I said to myself, it's going to take 24 miracles to get this building done. I've gotten 22. I just need two more. But he's in the miracle working business. Now let's get down to John 4. And we're going to show you this in a more expressive way in Jesus' walk and how he walked with his disciples and with people. We're going to go John 4, and we're going to start at the 25th verse. Let me give you a little context. Jesus has been ministering. There's been words that Jesus' disciples are baptizing more than John's disciples. There's just like this competition thing between the two that the Pharisees are trying to generate. Jesus has already gone somewhat about 20 miles somewhere in the middle of Palestine between Galilee and Judea, and instead of avoiding Samaria, which is a place that he would ordinarily avoid. He goes there. He ends up at a well with nothing to get the water out, and he sends his disciples to go away and get him something to eat because he is weary and he is tired, and he has been given spiritual energy. He's been given physical energy, and he just needs to take a break. Jesus is demonstrating to us his humanity. Here's where we pick the story up. He's talking to a woman. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who you speak of am he. The first thing that you and I need to have is the very thing that Jesus had, is a revelation that he is the Christ. This false reality that all roads lead to God and all religions are the same, I am here to let you know they are not. This woman was having a conversation to him about what was proper worship and where should they worship and what should be really going on. And did the Jews have it right, or did the Samaritans have it right, or did the Romans have it right? Who's got it right? And I know that you got a lot of different opinions, but Jesus is making it real clear that he's the way, he's the truth, and the life. And as far as I know, this is the first time he makes a direct declaration, I am the Christ. I don't want you looking at a bunch of other ways, and I'm not telling you to go out and not disrespect every other religion, but it is a false reality to think that there's any other religion that can get you to the heaven that we talk about. Now, you might be thinking about some other version, but it's not the right one. Well, let me make it plain because y'all are silent. Let me help you understand this really good. There is no other name given among men whereby you can be saved except the name of Jesus. That's it. Doesn't matter who says something else. Doesn't matter who preaches something else. Doesn't matter how many people are in another faith that don't believe your faith. You've got to believe he is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way. Okay? Let me just shock you with that. That's universalism. That's being ecumenical. That's trying to be politically correct to just say you can get there a lot of ways. Just trick one and stick to it. No, 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 no. That will get you sent the wrong place. You've got to be equipped with the right message. You've got to know that he's not just Savior, but Lord. You've got to know that it is the truth. Jesus knew who he was, and he didn't let this woman be deceived by just being religious. She was being faithful in one religious vein. But he said, that's not enough. I'm the Christ. That was one verse. Jesus said to her, 27, just then the disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman. But no one said, what do you seek? Or why are you talking to her? See, Jesus is teaching us something right away. Here's somebody that should be in one term adversarial to him religiously. In another term, as a rabbi, He shouldn't be alone with a woman. He, as a Jewish man, he should have known to just avoid this situation, but he didn't. He should have known that this woman, and in fact, he did know. He began to tell this woman, you're ignorant in one sense because you think you know something you don't know. He said, in another sense, you're immoral because you've had five husbands, and the man you're with now is not your husband. Jesus is not just coming with a message of how good he is. He's coming with a message of how far from him, his will, his word, and his way she is. Again, somebody has lied to us about what Christianity is. Christianity is confronting the sin that is in people's life with love of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not telling, well, you know, that's how you are. And I'm fine. You're fine. Love who you want.
Do what you want. Just kind of don't hurt other people. That's a doctrine of a false religion. It's not this one. Jesus comes with a message, and he's alone with this woman, showing you that even though she was considered by their faith a woman who's unclean, he was considered in the Jewish culture to be someone, sorry to be indelicate, that was constantly on a menstrual. That's how they considered them. So they would never ask for water from this woman's hand because it would have made him unclean. Jesus is showing you that he has come to seek and save that which is lost. He's come to condescend the men and women of low degree. He's not avoiding her. He's coming to her. He doesn't care what it's looking like for him or how his disciples might begin to view him. He's starting to say, you know what? For this reason, I've come to the earth. And they might not quite understand it, but I'm going to show them an example. So he stays by a well. Finally, by the way, this is not a message to now say, be careless with your faith. And just, I'm going to find you men, going to find them some women to minister to this shady. That ain't the spirit. Just to help somebody that might be immature like that. That's not what the word is saying. He was led of the spirit to be in a place where the message is for everybody. It's for that person that doesn't smell like you. It's for that person who has so much sin in their life. This message is for that person that's got so much sin in their life. She couldn't imagine that God would visit her. She's an outcast. An adulterous woman was supposed to be stoned. She avoided stoning 5 times. Think about it. The community wants her dead. She's not even visiting the well at the same time that the normal women would come visit the well. She's hiding out. Jesus is finding her. Have you made an appointment with a sinner lately? Have you said that the person that nobody talks to on the job is the one that you believe can get light in life? Have you looked at the people who are forgotten and cast out and they don't look neat and they can't wear a suit, they can't articulate clearly? Have you looked at them and said, I can go make a difference? Have you forgotten where God has brought you from? It's easy to forget. Jesus is giving a message to a woman that's in need to show this gospel is for everybody. Verse 28, the woman left her water jar and went away into the town and said to the people, come see a man. He told me everything I ever did. Now, I don't know if the Bible just didn't record everything Jesus said, or Jesus must have said more. But he confronted her. This is called thoroughly confronted. Bible says, woe to the man that calls good evil and evil good. You can't give. You don't have the right to give somebody permission to sin because you think it ought to be legal or because somebody else made it legal. There is no law above God's law. He's established it. Doesn't matter. Maybe it hit your house. And maybe because your child is struggling with something that makes you struggle with the concept. Well, I hate to give you the word, but the Bible said he didn't come to knit you together with the people in your home household. He came to bring a sword. That means his word is where you unite or divide. Y'all don't have to say amen. It's the truth. It's in the Bible. Can this be the Christ? They went out of the town and were coming to him. One message from a woman who just got the message it was the Christ. She just went out and she didn't have theology. She couldn't break down. She didn't know hermeneutics. She didn't have a lexicon. She didn't have a Bible dictionary. She didn't have anything. She didn't know Hebrew. Well, she took just the message, the testimony of what happened to her. Said, I don't know about you, but I found a man for me that changed me. And that was enough to make them want to come. When's the last time you told your testimony? When's the last time you told people, This is where I was before Christ. This is where I'm now in Christ. And this is where he showed me I'm going. You see, when I used to give the message in my weakness, in my self-righteousness, in my Christian superiority, it sounded like this. Well, I've only been with one woman, my wife. I was a virgin when I got married. You know, I didn't drink, do drugs. And you know what I was coming with? That was the message of my own righteousness. And I wanted people to get saved. And I was always forcing them to get saved. Because they couldn't relate to that. I wasn't telling them that I needed them. But let me tell you, for those who used to minister like me, God will let you go through an additional fall to help you realize the grace. Then you can get some new struggles so you can really minister to people. You can get rid of self-righteousness. See, if it's not good news to you, it's not going to be good news to them. If you don't think he is preeminent in all things, he's the answer to all things, then guess what? For them, he's not going to be. If you've got a message, now she's turned into a messenger. This messenger, she don't have it together. She's not like Sally, who went to the school of discipleship and got it all together. Because I know y'all saying, you might be hearing the message. Well, you know what? I'm hearing Pastor James, and I'm just going to start getting trained. And when I get trained in a couple years, I'm going to get out there. Okay, stop that. This is your training right now. Just take your one scripture and your testimony and walk on out there and say, you know, I don't know how to say this to you, but it looked like you're going to hell, and I want to help you get out of that. You know. Verse 31. Meanwhile, the disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat you don't know about. So the disciples said to one another, someone gave him something to eat. Jesus said to them, listen, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. It's not just to do it, it's to accomplish it. See, he had already done the job by showing up for the appointment, but he didn't know that it was accomplished. So he was so anxious to see the will of God done. He knew that the word had impacted this woman, and if she even touched it to somebody's ears just a little bit, a harvest was coming. And he didn't want to get into gluttony. He didn't want to get into himself. He didn't want to be self-absorbed. So he sanctified himself, and he sanctified the moment, and he wanted to stay focused, and he didn't get into his weariness or the fact that he'd already healed people. He'd already been moved to compassion. He'd already done so much. Oh, how could God ask him to do one other thing? He already volunteers in the departments. He already gives to the poor. He already gives it to the building. How could God ask him to give one other thing? God didn't have to ask him, because something on the inside of him loved God enough, loved his mission enough, understood the good news enough, understood the reconciliation and pulling somebody out of hell into heaven. He knew it so much. He said, I got to wait because I see something coming. When will you, when will I get excited about what excites him? That man said, I can't eat. I don't think he was like saying, I'm really hungry, I want to hurry up. I don't think that was him. He said, don't you say there's yet 4 months, and then the harvest is coming. Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see the fields. They're white with harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so the sower and the reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows, another reaps. And hear the word of the Lord to your church, specifically to you from God to Bethel. Hear verse 37. It is a word from the Lord to us. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. That is the word of the Lord to this house. That means God's not even complicating it. You can just whisper the gospel. You can just kind of yell the gospel. You can just get it down to a 30-second presentation. If you just but tell somebody there's hope in Christ, they're going to come following you and watching you and looking for you. This message, having a messenger, is that powerful. When you look at America, are you getting crazed with the craze of the world? Did you really drink that cup that tells you be worried, be fearful? Is life really about you to the degree that you worried about your next thing for you? Don't you understand? You was on the winning side the day you named him King of Kings and Lord of Lords over you. Now, nobody's dictating anything to me. I'm a son of the Most High God. I'm seated with him in heavenly places. I'm an heir and a joint heir with Christ. I have a kingdom. This is not my home. I have another home. But I can help you, the people who are harassed, sheep without a shepherd, afflicted, sick, and estranged from God. I can help you come in. And when I look at the campuses of the world, I'm tired of sending our kids to a party that only makes them compromise their soul. Why? Keep them home before you just give them. Who told you that the world's way is the way? Investigate everything. Go in their room tonight. It's stuff that's wrong in there. I promise you. Get it out. Burn it up in front of them. Just get a barrel. You're in the South. You could burn trash. Can't do that in the North. They'll get you. You will go down. He's trying to say, wait a minute. Somebody else, maybe it was John the Baptist, talked to those people who followed this woman before. Maybe it was the fame of what Jesus had done that had already gotten to them. By the time the woman got there and said, it's happened to me, and they knew who she was. They knew how she sinned. They knew that they didn't like her. They said, man, if somebody making her feel good about herself, that's powerful. We've heard about this thing that's miraculous like this. Now we're going to come see it. And now the sower, Jesus, and the reaper, the woman, they're rejoicing at the same time. Because the one that soweth, the scripture says, is nothing. The one that reaps, it's God who gives the increase. He said, Jesus said, I didn't lose none that you gave me. Don't you understand the principle? Now, don't you want to do your job? Your job is not even the hard part. You didn't have to, like the scriptures say, labor. Well, I got to work with them. You know, they got several devils and I got to get them out. He had already got rid of some of the devils for you. Got the baby devils left. I mean, he got them really want to obey and get into lordship right away. That means they're going to knock out a lot of sin quick. I mean, he did the work. All he's asking our church, let's make it specific, you as an individual to do is go whisper the gospel in somebody's ear. Why don't you start with your boss? Everybody with an unsaved boss, go send him a note. Don't want to bother you. Just thought you ought to know that God showed me this, and I wanted to show it to you. If you're open, come to my office and let the Lord use you. Well, I could lose my job. But you know what? You could lose your heavenly inheritance if you don't do the work. Which one you want to lose? The one that's eternal or the one that's temporal? The last part of this scripture, you can stand to your feet as I give it to your ministry team. You can come on down. I'm having too much fun to stop, so I'm making myself quit. Scripture says, verse 39, many Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. Why did they believe? Why did they believe? All you need is the testimony. He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you have said that we believe. So she said something. For we have heard for ourselves and we know that this indeed is the Savior of the world. My mom had a man take our family fishing one time growing up. One of my outdoor memories as a city boy.
It's a big deal to go fishing. Took us to this first spot. We didn't catch nothing. We was crying because we thought fishing was about catching fish, not throwing lines. And then they took us to a spot, and we was throwing, putting the worm on there, throwing it, pulling in fish. Then we stopped putting worms on there. We just threw the hook in, pulling in fish. I pulled in so many fish, but the person who brought us told my mama to tell us to stop pulling fish in and throw some of them fish back. I said, why? He said, we got to pay for that. This is a stock pond. This is a stock pond. Jesus has made it so easy that he has stocked the pond. Go to your campus, your local school, your school board, your parent committee, your job. Throw the hook in the lunchroom. Throw it at break time. Throw it just before work. Throw it after work. And you'll have the experiences that I have for a lifetime. People make appointments to get saved because the word went out. The word has gone out in the spirit realm about this house. We're a saving center. We're going to watch thousands of people in 2017 give their life to the Lord, get baptized, and get changed. But it starts with us praying that we would say we'll be laborers. I want to pray for you first. If you're saying that today, I am 100% going to be a laborer, put your hand up high in the air. Put it on up. Don't let me pray this over you if you don't like it, because I'm about to pray something. Lord, with our hands lift high, don't let us shrink back. Don't let us out of the mandate. Don't let us out of the responsibility. Everywhere we go, make us fishermen and fisherwomen. Everywhere we go, put the word of gospel and the testimony in our heart. And God, everywhere we go, make us pie pipers. Cause people to follow us home. Follow us to church until we are focused on what you're focused on, the lost. We voluntarily give and surrender our lives afresh to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. Now, two more minutes in the service. If you're afflicted, I want you to get out of your seat and come. If you're lost, I want you to come. If you're a sheep without a shepherd, if you got a sickness in your body, it don't matter. Whatever it is, I want you to come. Don't wait on something deep to happen. The word is happening. If you fit the description of somebody that's in need of Jesus' ministry, whether it's healing in your body or spiritual healing, I want you to come. Take a moment. Come. Don't make it deep for yourself. Come. Come. Come right now. We didn't make you raise your hand. We didn't make you hide. We want you to come. Come. Come to the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Come to Christ. He's not done. Come. Come on. Come now. Come get an answer. Come get hope. Come get restored. Come get breakthrough. Come on. Come get healing. Come get relief. Come get relief. It's about coming. You come to Jesus. You don't come to man. You come to Jesus, and he uses men to help you. Come. Come, don't delay. Come, 30 more seconds. Come on, come, 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 come. Church, your job is to pray and people can get free and come. There's a few more that's going to come. I got 15 more seconds. Thank you, my sister. A few more ministers, come. Barry and Jess, come. Come on. It's a renewal. I feel renewal. Nice. Come and pray for people. Hallelujah. 5 more seconds. Come. 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 He's healing. Healed in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Yes. Yes. Come. I don't care where you're at. Now, the service is over, but the ministry can continue. Lord, I pray that you would bless your people as they leave this place, but not your presence. Keep us all in the center of your will and as the apple of your eye. And we'll continue to give you praise for all things. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You are dismissed. If you have any needs whatsoever, we're here to pray for you. God bless you.